What is up, everybody? Welcome into 49ers Live. Hope you enjoyed your holiday weekend. Thanksgiving feast around your friends and family. He's Ted Robinson. I'm Joe Fan. Breaking it all down. Week 12, 1-10 now. And that was the one that always stings against the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle now 9 in a row against the 49ers. It was close for a while. Seattle pulled away in the second half. Ted, let's start with your holiday weekend. We will skip Saturday because I know the Notre Dame result wasn't what we wanted.
Yeah, it was,
but on Thanksgiving, did you have a good holiday?
It was good for Stanford. Saturday had a lot of good things for me. The actual result for Notre Dame wasn't so good. But, yeah, Thanksgiving was fabulous. You had a ton of family around, come from other parts of the country. They come every other year when Notre Dame plays Stanford here. That's great. I'm happy for Stanford that they're going to be here at Levi Stadium Friday night. It should be one of the better championship games, maybe the best one that the stadium is hosted here with Stanford and USC playing. And, hey, there's going to be some – Stanford has a lot of vengeance. They did not like getting pounded by USC in the Coliseum way back early in September. So there'll be some emotion out here on Friday night. How about for you?
It was great. I had the parents in town.
Yeah.
A really cool moment for me yesterday. I got to give a little shout-out to my dad who was in the house. His first responders day. He spent 40-plus years with Seattle Police Department. That's he was in Niners gear yesterday, so that was a fun moment for me and my family. It was definitely a good holiday weekend.
How did the Niners gear look on Dad?
Oh, they looked good.
Good. I hope he takes it home
really
with him.
Really good.
He needs to keep wearing it at home.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He took my salute to service jacket. I told him to keep it, so yeah, he's got ample gear to rock back in the Northwest. Here's what went down yesterday at Levi's Stadium, some of the highlights. Again, week 12, 49ers coming off of that win against the Giants, then their bye week. Well rested for this one. This is the first play from scrimmage. It's Eric Reed intercepting Russell Wilson for the third time in his career. It's his second pick of 2017. Then it was the Seahawks who would score first. A little read option. Russell Wilson keeps it, scores from 2 yards out. This just before the half on third and two. It's 29 yards to Trent Taylor in a quick slant that he takes into Seahawks territory. That would set up Robbie Gould's first field goal of the day just before half to get the 49ers on the board. Just out of the reach of that Seahawks player coming in to block it. 49ers on the board, 7-3 at the half. Into the third quarter, 49ers get the ball first. Carlos Hyde getting going a little bit. This is good for 14 yards and would set up Robbie Gould's second field goal. That made it 7-6, cutting the Seahawks lead to 1. The Seahawks would kind of take over from there as the 49ers offense could never really get going in this one. Here's a touchdown pass to tight end Nick Vinette. He's into the end zone. Now 24-6. Here's one of the plays of the game. C.J. Beathard takes the shot from Michael Bennett and is down. That means Jimmy Garoppolo time, just 1:07 left. He comes in, and here's the story of the game. He gets three plays. First one, avoids pressure, scrambles. Looks like he picks up the first down. The officials would rule him just short, and there would be no review. After a false start, it's 4th and 6th. Garoppolo to Aldrick Robinson. A throw into traffic to keep the drive alive. Time for a spike and then one more play. And here he goes, Jimmy Garoppolo rolling to his left, looking, throwing, and finding Lewis Murphy in the end zone for the 10-yard score. That's how the game would end. Robbie Gould would kick the PAT, and then both teams went their separate ways. 24-13, the final. Something that looked like another Seahawks win. And then all of a sudden, this Jimmy Garoppolo situation comes alive. Well, we don't know anything about C.J. Beathard's. He said it was hurting his knee and his hip. We don't know the extent of that. Kyle Shanahan will tell us later this afternoon. Ted, what do you make of the ending of yesterday's game?
Well, the ending of the game, to me, was really, I think, the one disappointment I have about the games between the 49ers and Seahawks this year was that final play was the only touchdown the 49ers scored against the Seahawks this year. And that's, I think, a disappointment to everybody. And again, Kyle had such success with an entirely different group of players, clearly, but he had such success calling plays against the Seahawks defense last year with the Atlanta team twice, regular season and playoffs. This is not, it's not the full Seattle defense. They still have great players. And the 49ers just couldn't get anything. You referenced that the one drive to start the second half yesterday was the only time Carlos Hyde was really able to get some traction running the ball. The 49ers could not finish drives. And the other problem yesterday was the absence of Trent Brown. And it's one of those things that fans don't really understand or recognize when it happens. Always the offensive tackle, he's not playing. Who took advantage yesterday? Michael Bennett. He's already a dominant player in the league. And when you don't have your best available to go up against him, Michael Bennett wreaked havoc. And C.J. Beathard yesterday, unfortunately, most of the day had no chance. There were just way too much stuff going on right in his face.
Yeah, 13 quarterback hits yesterday for the Seahawks. They had three sacks. Michael Bennett and Sheldon Richardson had a field day for sure. And you saw the one that C.J. got hurt on. That one's not even in the record book or in the box score because that was an offsides penalty. Didn't end up going in the stat sheet. He took two hits that were off of Michael Bennett offsides penalties. So, yeah, he was under siege throughout the day. And then Garoppolo comes in, and, I mean, of course, what else would he do? He throws a touchdown to get us all talking, and it's the buzz on every sports network this morning. So what do you make of it? I mean, is Garoppolo looking like he might be in line for his first start in his hometown of Chicago against the Bears in Week 13?
Well, I'm sure, you know, look, yesterday was an exercise in futility because the always happens. The media feels like they have to ask questions after the game to the coach, and there's no way the coach could answer. He should never answer anyway, but it's 5 minutes after a game, 10 minutes after the injury. There's no way Kyle Shanahan should say anything about that. I don't know if he's going to say anything today about it because they'll obviously have some medical evaluation in hand, and you know whether or not they want to disclose that yet and say, is it going to be CJ or is Garoppolo going to get the start? And, of course, the whole Chicago storyline will come into play this weekend. This is Jimmy Garoppolo's hometown, and he played his college football close to Chicago. Do you get a chance to go back and start a game there? You know, it's the reality. And everybody's anticipating that time when Jimmy Garoppolo does get a chance to finally start. We saw the flash of it yesterday. But I thought it was very telling, and Joe, and we've seen this before and talked about it. I thought it was very telling, the reaction of the 49er players yesterday when Beathard went down. And I said, I've been around here 9 years now. I've only seen three quarterbacks here that have earned that kind of respect from their teammates. It was Alex Smith, clearly, Blaine Gabbert. And now C.J. Beathard has done that in just one season. Garoppolo hasn't been here long enough yet to get there. But I think that's really telling. When you saw how the entire team reacted, the respect that C.J. Beathard has earned in less than one full season.
Yeah, Eric Reid coming off of the bench to take a knee next to his teammate. And Kyle Shanahan said, when C.J. goes down, you know it's something.
Yeah.
Because that guy's so good at getting up, dusting himself off, moving on to the next play. So crossing our fingers that everything's okay with C.J. But the injury could force Kyle Shanahan's hand, so to speak, and mean that Jimmy Garoppolo, out of necessity, will start in Chicago.
Yeah. You know, CJ, to follow up on your point, Joe, and there were some things CJ missed yesterday, including he took a sack that he couldn't take. It cost the team 3 points near the end of the first half. Instead of getting rid of the ball and giving Robbie Gould a chance to kick a field goal, he took that sack that, you know, an experienced quarterback likely finds a way to get rid of that ball and give you a shot to kick a field goal. But then he made a great throw. The best throw he made yesterday, I thought, was a sideline ball in front of the Seattle bench to Marquise Goodwin. And you go back and look at that throw, and Bobby Wagner is literally 6 inches from his face mask, going to just plaster him. And C.J. Beathard stood in there and made this throw. Not this one, but it was one down the far sideline to Goodwin that was, I mean, it's just that was what you respect so much about C.J. Beathard.
There it is.
Ah, there it is, yeah. Way to go, Nate.
I mean, that's a dime.
And I mean, that's a great throw. That's a great throw. And he does that with Bobby Wagner right there. And again, I think, Joe, that's what we've seen has created that respect C.J. Beathard has from his team.
Yeah, Marquise Goodwin was his favorite target yesterday. 4 catches for 78 yards. A nice game for him. Coming out of the bye, Carlos Hyde was heavily targeted 13 times yesterday. And that's kind of indicative of the pressure, I think, is you just go to that check down, you take what's available to you to try to not take more sacks. But yeah. That was a connection that worked to some degree. Defensively, I think there was some success. Obviously, kept the game close for most of the game until really it kind of got blown open in the third quarter. But Russell Wilson, man, that guy must have had Vaseline on his jersey.
Well, that's the deal. I think the defense did a good job yesterday, Joe. They never let Lacy get going on the ground. I mean, he had some yards, but not a lot.
That's on 3rd and 7.
And this is the point. This is, to me, the entire game on this side of the ball is right there. Is that how many times
coming?
You have Tank Carradine.
And he still gets out of it.
Yeah.
And it's not even just the completions for big plays downfield. Obviously, that's a huge thing. This one, I think, to Baldwin. Yeah, that's a huge play. Throwing it away from the defense on that back shoulder. But it's, you know, it's the plays where he's able to, you know, look, he fumbles the snap, runs around, throws, and you know, gets 10 yards, another first down. But it's also the plays where he's able to avoid pressure and just throw it away, just get rid of it. I mean, those, to me, those are game-changing plays.
That throw right there, now that's an incomplete pass, but that play, I almost fell off my chair because he gets out of trouble, gets out of his end zone, and then arm strengths a pass 60 yards down the field that Paul Richardson, I don't think, was prepared to come his way. But they, look, Joe, we know the Seahawks and the 49ers were all over Wilson in the game in Seattle. The Seahawks offensive line isn't very good, and yesterday the guys were all around him. He was not sacked. Wilson was not sacked. That's incredible. And the other flip side, and it's not the reason the 49ers lost the game, but again, it feels like it happens against Seattle. There were a couple of terrible calls against the 49ers, just terrible calls. And the Seahawks came into the game yesterday as the most penalized team in the league, threatening to set a single-season NFL record and was, what, four? I think you have it on your tablet there. Four penalties
six,
yesterday?
Six penalties or six against Seattle. The 49ers is seven for 74.
Yeah, it's just... Unfortunately, in that highlight package, I think, Joe, you touched on a big point. There were way too many targets to Carlos Hyde and not enough to the wide receivers. And, yes, Kyle talked about after the game, Seattle played a different sort of defense, understanding they had Earl Thomas and a couple of other guys back there. But you hoped, and you saw one or two plays where Marquise Goodwin went at Byron Maxwell. Byron Maxwell can't run. I mean, that's why he's been cut by a couple of teams. And the 49ers couldn't take enough advantage of Maxwell and Lane, who failed a physical and got shipped back to Seattle a couple of weeks ago. They couldn't take advantage enough of that. The wide receivers didn't have enough of an impact in the game. And as a result, way too many check down throws to Carlos Hyde.
A couple questions coming in. Most of them, Henry included, about Jimmy Garoppolo, whether he will start or not. I think we've kind of touched on it. We don't know.
Yeah.
But very likely, yeah. Very possible. You kind of felt like his time might be coming, and with CJ going down, we have no idea what that injury looks like, and if he'll be able to play this week, it might force Kyle Shanahan's hand in terms of making the move now. Obviously, going back home against Chicago in what I would think is a winnable game against a 3-8 team that's lost four straight. Monica wants to know about Cassius Marsh and Sheldon Day, two guys signed off of waivers. Cassius Marsh cut by the Patriots, Sheldon Day forced out by the depth. The Jacksonville Jaguars have a defensive line. Both those guys played quite a bit, well over 40% of the snaps. What did you see from those two?
Yeah, Sheldon Day, I thought, showed up nicely. You saw him flash more, I think, in his snaps than Marsh, although Marsh did get, I think, some better runs later in the game. Look, the 49ers' actions, again, speak louder than words. Aaron Lynch was a healthy scratch yesterday, so I have a feeling you see where that is destined to land. Cassius Marsh was brought here to try to be in that position, to try to be somebody that can get you that outside pass rush pressure. Sheldon Day's a force inside, and he got a good shot yesterday. DJ Jones, who has played nicely in his rookie year, was the healthy scratch. The other guy that showed up yesterday, I ended up calling his name four or five times on good second half plays, was Ronald Blair. Mm-hmm. And so the defensive line yesterday was better. It was healthier than it has been. Solomon Thomas was back. Tank was back. And I think that plays out now with the additions of a guy like Sheldon Day, even Dusable, who's been a nice pickup. Dusable was a healthy scratch yesterday. So it gives you better feeling about the defensive line, and it showed because they never did get Lacy tried, and Lacy had a couple of runs where he got hit behind the line and used that 255 to get forward and make 2 yards out of it. But his overall numbers, I think, were still less than,
for 46,
yeah, so. Less than 3 yards a carry. So your defensive front yesterday was pretty stout.
That, and I think it's one of those things you forget about, but it's one of those gifts that keeps on giving. When you have that number two spot in the waiver order, you have it all year long. It's not like your fantasy league where you claim one guy, you go to the bottom of the pack. You stay right there. And I know from the conversations I've had around the building, the 49ers did not expect to get Cassius Marsh. They did not foresee that New England would let him go. Sheldon Day, because of the depth that Jacksonville has at that position with the Clays, Campbells of the world over there, that one made a little more sense. But I know for sure that getting Cassius Marsh was a bit of a surprise. And that's something that's nice when you have so many injuries. Then you get Tank Carradine back. You get Solomon Thomas back. And you add guys like Cassius Marsh and Sheldon Day, who you didn't necessarily anticipate on.
Right.
That helps when you're game planning and trying to create a team that you feel good about going out in the field.
You know what I'm thinking here as you're saying that, Joe, is that we've lived through this for, 7 years now that Carroll has been in Seattle. How many players have the 49ers cut and Seattle has signed? I mean, it's been a ton, it feels like, over 7 years. Here's one of the few that's gone the other way, right? Cassius Marsh, he was with New England briefly this year, but he was a Seahawk, and the 49ers bring him in. But I think it also shows something because, and Seattle has a number in their publicity package, which I forget, but since Pete Carroll has been there, even with all the winning they've done, they have made an astounding number of transactions. They constantly churn, especially the back end of their roster, looking for that guy that someone else overlooked. Or in the Seattle case, they clearly have taken in players who have baggage from other places. Pete Carroll's willing to give almost every one of those players another chance. So for the 49ers in the position there, and this makes sense, right? Churn the back end to see if you pick up somebody that didn't fit, or in Sheldon Day's case, may got squeezed out by what now is a very strong defense in Jacksonville. And we might see the 49ers find a jewel or two or three out of that group.
Moving ahead to Chicago in week 13, again, the third straight year. It's the annual trip to Chicago in week 13, that first weekend of December. Hopefully no snow this weekend. Knock on, there's wood somewhere around here that the snow stays away as compared to the blizzard we had last year in Chicago. But it's a team, like I said, 3-8. They're on a four-game losing streak. Mitchell Trubisky has had his moments, and this is a chance for the 49ers to see the guy that Chicago traded up to get that number two overall pick. The 49ers moving down to the number three spot and then getting that third-round pick from Chicago. 2-5 record and 7 starts, 162 yards per game, 4 touchdowns, 4 picks, 70.8 QB rating, so nothing spectacular. I think, you know, the pieces there that he's throwing to, probably not what he'd like to have. But what do you make of what you've seen of Chicago? And to me, on paper, I would say this looks like a winnable game.
Oh, no question. It's definitely a winnable game. And the 49ers won there 2 years ago in overtime. Gabbert to Torrey Smith, big throw. Last year was terrible. It was just a very poor game, by the quarterback in tough conditions. Oddly enough, the guy that played well in those conditions was Matt Barkley, Southern California born and raised. He quarterback for the Bears that game and actually handled it much better than the 49ers quarterback did. So anyway, where are the Bears right now? We didn't expect. I know that the Bears in summer did not expect Trubisky to be quarterbacking this quickly. They clearly felt they needed to make that change. They have a very good rookie running back. Tariq Cohen came out of nowhere. He's caught people by surprise in Chicago. I mean, he was a draft pick, but no one expected him to play as well as a rookie. And then on the flip side, you've got a Vic Fangio defense. And they've brought some familiar names in there. Sam Acho, Prince Amukamara, guys from other teams that Vic has taken in to try to give them one more shot. And he's pieced together, for the most part, a pretty nice defense this year. But I think the other thing I'm looking forward to seeing, Joe, there has to be one moment in this game Sunday, next Sunday, where Solomon Thomas sacks Mitchell Trubisky. Because think back to the Sun Bowl. Last New Year's, somewhere around New Year's Day, the most crucial play in the game. Solomon Thomas sacked Mitchell Trubisky to clinch the win for Stanford.
Yeah, there was, and I loved it, our digital team, Matt Asher, shout out to you, found this image of when the 49ers drafted Solomon Thomas, and it's him barreling down on Mitchell Trubisky, the guy who was just picked the pick beforehand. That was good stuff. Ted, one more question from Nicole before we get out of here. Has Akella Witherspoon impressed you so far in his rookie season?
Yeah, he has. I mean, I think he's grown into this. We all have seen that. Early on, the concern with Akello was the physical play. That goes back to draft day, you know, tackling, playing run support out of that position. His ability to cover and his ball skills are pretty good, and we've seen that. There's still moments. I thought yesterday there were one or two plays. There was a 3rd and 10 where he played too soft on a receiver. Maybe that was the call. I'm not privy to that. But it was too easy, a 3rd and 10 pitch and catch first down for Seattle. Those things, hopefully, Akello, with more experience, tightens up. But, yeah, I think, quite honestly, with Rashard Robinson being gone now, and Dante Johnson has scuffled, I think, more in the last couple of weeks, Akello Witherspoon has gone from a guy that didn't dress early in the year to right now being, I think, he's the best corner on this team.
Good stuff. Yeah. That's all I got. Not a ton to say after that one. The storyline of the week is we're waiting and seeing who's under center in Chicago. Mm-hmm. We don't know yet. Maybe it's CJ. Maybe it's Jimmy Garoppolo for the first time in a 49ers uniform. Stay tuned. That's all we can say. We'll have it fully covered on 49ers.com, the team's official mobile app. Until then, he's Ted Robinson. I'm Joe Fan. We'll see you next Monday right here on 49ers Live.